The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hello, you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lissa Marquardt. I am a certified career and life coach, and my passion is guiding others to find and live theirs. There is no doubt that with the onset and continuation of the pandemic, that people are seriously questioning what they want to do, not only with their careers, but more importantly, with their lives. And since all of this began, that genuinely was my hope, that people would ask themselves those kind of questions. My guest today was questioning his career even before the pandemic, and instead of finding himself working from home in the midst of all the lockdowns, he decided to leave his job and to take some time to live a few dreams of his own. My guest today is Keith Weatherman. He has been doing some serious traveling since leaving his job, and currently he is in La Paz, Mexico. He got there in a rather non-traditional way. He rode his bike from the California-Mexican border. Keith, to me, is genuinely an inspiration in not putting your life on hold. His journey might not be for everyone, but it is for him. He was willing to take the risks and to have the courage to do something that he genuinely loves. And that's what's important. We're going to go to break, and when we return, Keith will join us to share his inspiration, his journey, and how he is making it all work. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm Lissa Marquardt. I am a certified career and life coach, and my guest today is Keith Weatherman. Keith was formerly a senior vice president in banking, who is currently embarking upon one of his life's dreams, riding his bike from the Mexican border in California all the way down to Cabo San Lucas. Currently, Keith is enjoying some time off his bike in La Paz and has graciously taken this opportunity to share his story with us. Welcome, Keith.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me on your program. I'm excited and honored to be part of it. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. When I heard what you were doing, my thought was immediately, oh, my gosh, I have got to get Keith on the show. And I knew you were just riding your bike all through Mexico, and I thought, you know, the chances of me connecting with him, I don't have any idea what his communication is or what, and that we actually got it to happen. Thank you so much, because like I said, I think that what you're doing is such an inspiration for other people, and I wish everyone could choose something like you're doing that calls their name, scares them a little bit, but then ultimately leads them to feeling a passion for life that they might have missed. So thank you for taking time out from time off your bike and kayaking and enjoying some warm sunshine. But again, I just think that you will be an inspiration for others to perhaps partake in something like this that would give them some new meaning in their lives.
Well, great, and absolutely happy to do it. I was also excited that I found some internet so we could actually communicate and have this discussion, because being out in the Baja, sometimes that's few and far between. Yep. So I'm excited to be able to make that happen.
Yeah. And I mean, it must just be such a far step off of the world that you came from that it's probably just fascinating in that alone.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because there's times where you're out in the middle of nowhere and you know, my bicycle has a name. His name is Malky. So sometimes we have conversations and it's kind of like that. Oh gosh, what was it? Wilson and Tom Hanks. And so I think sometimes Donkey is my Wilson. And then, you know, being able to when I go places and I find somebody that actually speaks English and having a conversation with them is sometimes nice as well.
Oh, gosh. You know what? I went to Argentina thinking I had a little bit of Spanish under my belt. And anytime I'd hear somebody speaking English, they were my new best friends. I was like so craving a language that I could just fluently speak. So I totally know what you mean.
You know, and I know enough Spanish to get me in trouble, but not necessarily get me out of trouble. So I'll start talking to somebody who speaks Spanish, and then they assume that I speak it very fluently, and then I'm just completely lost. So, but the great thing about the Mexican people is if you speak Spanish or try to speak Spanish, they're very patient and help you out with it, too. So that's been fun.
You know what? I think that seems true no matter where you travel. You know, it's like you just kind of have to let people know that you're not following right along and you need a little bit of help. And I think people, for the most part, are willing to do that. So, you know, I think sometimes people hold themselves back when they don't necessarily know a language for the country or the region that they're going to. And so they say, oh, you know, I don't want to go there, when I really think that people... It's kind of fun to work with each other in doing something like that.
Yeah, I have a great story where just the other day I got up to the top of this hill and I was exhausted, and it hadn't even been breakfast time, so I stopped at this little place and it's just a little stand on the corner, and I was ordering breakfast, and this Hispanic guy walks up and he goes, "Habla español," and I go, "No, muy, muy poquito," which is very, very, very little. And he goes, "Okay, well, I speak a little bit of English." So he sat down beside me, and he practiced his English, and I practiced my Spanish, and it was a great experience.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah,
that's awesome. Definitely. And it's a great way to, like, and that's how you learn things about different areas that you go to. You just engage in conversation with the local people, and you know, my experience has been they just want to take you under their wing and kind of give you the best experience you can have for where they live.
Absolutely. They're so proud of their country and proud of the place that they live, and they want to share that with you. So it's been fun.
That's great. So fill us in. This isn't exactly a trip that just anyone would decide to take. So where and when did this idea come from?
Well, this specific trip, or, you know, basically it all started in 2019, the beginning of 2019, before COVID hit, before, you know, everybody was turned on their heads and everything was flipped over. I sat down the beginning of the year in 2019 and made a list of not New Year's resolutions, but what did I want to do? What was on my bucket list of things that I wanted to accomplish? And, you know, I sat down and looked at it and I go, wow, a lot of these things are going to take a lot of physical and mental effort to accomplish. And at the time I was 50 years old, I had had a few friends who had passed away. Mm-hmm. My dad had been struggling with Alzheimer's, and you know, I just realized that life was short, and if I'm going to do these things, I really need to get going on them. I was still young, have the ability to do quite a few of those things that were on my list.
Right.
But I knew that the time was ticking too, and time for me to start taking this serious if I wanted to make those things happen.
That is so awesome. And, you know, I think that for the most part, we do that. We have these dreams that, you know, that pop into our heads, or they call our names, and then we just dismiss them because we say we can't, or, you know, now's not the time. And so how did you get through that?
Sure. I mean, I think the first part is getting them written down. Okay. and seeing if you write them down and then you really look at them, you say, yeah, those are things that I do want to accomplish in my life.
Right.
And then you start putting a priority on them of what is more important. At the time, I had an awesome job. I was making great money. I had a house in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I had, you know, a great boss, great employees. And it's like, do I give that up and do these things that are on this list that are my passion that I want to do? Or do I stay comfortable and continue to live my current life?
Right.
You know, so that was the decision that I had to make.
That's a big decision.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, I thought that you were more in a position where you were kind of looking for a career change, or, you know, you just didn't have a whole lot of satisfaction. So the fact that you actually were satisfied and comfortable in what you were doing even speaks more highly to the decision that you made, because of just understanding that the preciousness of time in your life.
Right. And it, you know, you hit it right on the head. Is yes, I was comfortable. And sometimes to live your best life is the life is when you're not comfortable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so how did that play out? So you have your list, you have these things that you want to accomplish. They're going to take some physical and mental stamina on your part. Then what happened?
Yeah, so that was the first part of 2019, you know, basically the beginning of the year, writing that list down. And then up until November, where I finally decided to quit my job and take the next step towards that list, is figuring out how that's going to happen, you know, looking at my finances, looking at what is important. You know, I was making great money, but I was also buying stuff that didn't bring me happiness. You know, it was things that I was told that I needed to do and have, instead of the things that were actually providing a sense of not well-being, but a sense of enjoyment.
Right.
And so I had a house full of stuff that I wasn't really enjoying, and which was costing money, which I had to go to work every day to pay for. So just looking at all that stuff and what was most important, and it just kept coming back to those things that are on my bucket list that I wanted to do. And, you know, so selling my house and selling the things that were in my house. And, you know, we can talk about it a little bit later, that when COVID hit and I needed to figure out what to do, I went to go home, but I didn't have a home to go to anymore because I sold it. So that was kind of funny. But, you know, but just there again, prioritizing what is important to you. And once you find what is important to you, the figuring out how to get there is actually pretty easy, because you know what you want to do. And when people usually know what they want to do, they'll figure out a way to make it happen.
Oh, absolutely true. And I thought it was interesting that you said, You were spending money on things that people told you you should. And that is so true. I believe that society kind of gives us a list of what we have to have or what we want to have. And so, and then you actually sat down and made a decision that, you know, no, these things are not, you know, nurturing my soul. They're not feeding me what it is that I really want. And so I think that's really kind of one of the big things that gets in people's way from embarking upon something like you're doing.
Yeah, you know, it's probably the two questions I get most or asked most is when I'm traveling is, where do you live? Where's home? And you know, I look at him, I say, well, right now, home is my bike, because I don't really have a home. You know, if I'm somewhere else and you know, I have I call it the Gallivanter, which is my van that's like a Sprinter van that, you know, when I'm traveling in the States and stuff, that's considered home. And then my other question that I get asked a lot is, what do you do for a living? Or, you know, everybody wants to know what you do for a living.
Yep.
And I go, you know, my living right now is traveling and seeing the world and getting to meet new great people like yourself. So that's my living right now.
Oh, I love it. And how does it feel to say that you don't have a home? How is that?
You know, it's odd when you first say it, you know, and people look at you funny. It's, you get used to it just like you do everything else. And you know, at first when you said it, it's scary. It's like, ooh, yeah. This is the first time in my 53 years of living where I really don't have a home. And that's scary, and a little bit fearful. But the more you live it and the more you understand it, the more freeing it is.
Sure. And so do you have, do you have a plan for if and when you choose to not do this lifestyle right now? Is there something that is kind of your comfort zone on saying, well, someday I will, or I plan to have this, as far as a home goes, or are you just letting it play out?
Right now, I'm just letting it play out. I have some ideas, being down here in Baja, the place Todos Santos, I hear it's an awesome place. I want to go down and check it out and see if it's somewhere where I want to live. Right now, I have the travel bug. And I think once you start traveling and you start seeing the world it's hard to settle down and be in one spot. But maybe having a spot where you can call your home and then adventure out from there might be important someday as well.
Right. But I love that you're just letting it, kind of take its own path and kind of shape of its own and see what happens.
Yeah, I think when you pressure yourself or have a set, especially right now with what I'm doing, having something in your mind that you know you want to have happen, you try too hard to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And instead of just letting what's going to happen naturally happen.
Exactly. And so you started out, where did you start when you first began traveling? Was that in Portugal?
So the first thing on my list that I really wanted to do was run the Caballo Blanco Ultra Marathon down in the Copper Canyon. So if anybody's ever read the book Born to Run by Chris McDougall, they talk about running with the Tarahumara Indians and down in the Copper Canyon. And so that was the first thing on my list that I wanted to accomplish. I think the book has been out maybe 12 years, 13 years, and that was always something that I really wanted to do. But there again, life got in the way, work got in the way, and just never was able to do it.
Sure.
It's pretty much a week-long experience in March where you go down into the Copper Canyon, and it's an ultra marathon, and there's different lengths of runs that you can do down there. But it's running with the Tarahumara Indians, which are famous running group down in the Copper Canyon, and just an awesome experience. So that was the first thing on my list that I wanted to accomplish. And being in Coeur d'Alene, it was cold, and being down in the Copper Canyon, the temperatures were going to be probably 90 to 100 degrees. So I moved to Puerto Vallarta and spent a couple of months down there training and getting ready for that run. So before then, I spent a lot of time on the couch after work or sitting at work and not in great physical shape,
right,
and needed to get down to do that and get ready for that event.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? We need to go to break, but oh, my gosh, so many questions to have you answer. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and taken the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm Lisa Marquardt. I am a certified career and life coach, and my guest today is Keith Weatherman. Keith is currently riding his bike en route to Cabo, and he departed from the California-Mexican border, and he's taken the time to share with us how he got inspired and some of the other ways he's choosing to live a life he genuinely loves. And we were just talking about some of the things. You started off with running a marathon and realizing that by doing the work that you were doing in banking, you were just laying on the couch, weren't at all in any shape to do that. So you decided to go to Mexico to Puerto Vallarta and start getting in shape. That is so awesome. So I just have to backtrack a little bit. So you've got this list of things that you want to do, that your bucket list items. And I think that for a lot of people, when I ask them, you know, like what's on their list, what do they really want to do, what do they dream of, so often they can't think of anything or nothing really comes to mind. So my question is, how did you come up with this list? Did you, are these things you've always known you wanted to do, or was there some sort of a resource? How did you figure out these things that you wanted to have on your list?
Oh, that's a good question. I've been pretty physically active my whole life. I did triathlons, enjoy going to Nepal and just being outdoors. So, you know, I would read outdoor magazines and just reading and hearing other people's stories about what they did, and then going back and maybe watching YouTube videos or Googling different things that people are doing and challenging themselves. A lot of things on my bucket list are things that are challenging.
Yes.
They're going to get me out of my comfort zone. And it's just, I think everybody, if they pay attention to what their passion is or what they want to do, and then doing a little bit of research on that, will come up with things that you would want to add to your bucket list.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of what I see is people have kind of gotten themselves numbed out as to what those things are, simply because they have that repetitive thought of, I have to just keep working, or I can't do that because I can't afford it, or I don't have time, or I've got a family. So I think a lot of that gets numbed out and they forget. So I love your ideas about just doing some Google research or looking at magazines there are just so many things that people are doing right now that are amazing that, to just, instead of just flopping on the couch and watching TV, to maybe invest a little bit of time behind the computer and doing some personal research on, what is something that would really get you excited and inspired to get out of your comfort zone.
Sure, absolutely. And then, it's like when you're making your bucket list, when you're making it, don't say, well, how am I going to do that? Just make the bucket list of what are the things that I want to do. Don't get into the minutia of how am I going to pay for it, or when am I going to find the time to do it?
Yes.
Like we talked about earlier, is if it's something that you really want to do, we'll figure out as humans how to make that happen.
Yep.
But I think, first of all, you just want to get that list down and look at it and say, is that something that I'm willing to do or give up something else, get out of my comfort zone, my safe space to make happen? And if it is, we'll figure it out. But please, when you're making your bucket list, don't put things on your list because you're not sure how you're going to make that happen.
Exactly.
Get it on your list and then make sure, and then you'll figure out how to make that happen if it really means something to you.
Absolutely. One step at a time, even if it's just a baby step.
Sure, absolutely.
So, so you started off with the run, and then what? Then where did you go? What was your next endeavor?
Sure, so that was March of 2020, and so we got out of the canyon, and I started flying back to Walla Walla, and this COVID thing kept popping up, and so we started, I started looking into that, and in the end of March, I think it was April 15th, I had a permit to hike the Pacific Crest Trail, And so the PCT from San Diego up to the Washington-Canada border. And that was the next thing on my list that I wanted to do. So I got home, got all my stuff together, got my household, and flew to San Diego. And I was there the day before I was supposed to start hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. And I got an email from the Pacific Crest Trail Association saying, "We can't tell you what to do, but we would prefer that nobody hike the Pacific Crest Trail this year because we're not sure what this COVID thing is for sure, but we don't want our hikers bringing it into the little towns that you go through for resupplying."
Wow.
So with that said, I hopped on a plane and canceled my trip to do the Pacific Crest Trail and flew back to Walla Walla. And that's kind of where my funny story was. Well, I don't have a place to go back to with COVID. You know, yeah. I always have a home with family back in Walla Walla. So that was my home until I figured out what my next step was going to be, reassessing what COVID looked like and how that was going to change my plans with my bucket list.
So you figured it out. Just like you said, it's one step at a time and you never know what's going to show up, but you figure it out.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, it wasn't that thing on my bucket list. So I started looking through my bucket list and looked at what are the things that I can do during COVID that I can start focusing on.
So what came next?
So and that's where I ended up buying my home, so which is called the Gallivanter.
Okay.
And it's a Sprinter van and basically spent the next few months just driving around and hitting all the national parks in Washington, Montana, and Utah, and just really did a lot of hiking, biking, being outdoors, and doing that, and really enjoyed it.
And so it sounds like you have totally embraced like getting physically fit and, you know, just taking on some physical challenges. So do you notice a difference in how you feel physically as well?
Oh, definitely. Sure. And, you know, it's whenever you make your list, your bucket list, is, you know, you have self-doubt and you have negative talk and, you know, it's like, do I have the capability to do these things? And, you know, and it's like, you know, I don't know if I do or not, but I'm not going to, there's only one way to find out, and that's to go give it a try. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I guess, you know, just don't let fear or self-doubt or negative talk you out of doing those things. You know, if I wasn't able to hike the whole Pacific Crest Trail, at least I tried.
Absolutely.
You know, and I still don't know that one yet. It's still on my bucket list that I need to do. It just has been postponed for a little bit.
No, I think, you got other things to move on to.
Yep. And there again, I think everybody's been required to change with COVID and look at things a little bit different, and that's okay. And just figuring out how your goals fit with this new challenge that we have to look at.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I do think people are definitely more aware of, you know, what else can they do with their lives, because the lockdown thing just made them aware of the fact that there's a big world out there and they want to see it again and explore it. And so, you know, again, that's why I just find that what you're doing to be such an inspiration. And I'm sure there have been moments along the way where there have been challenges or roadblocks to maybe some of the things that you wanted to do. I mean, you know, you said that you weren't allowed to do the trail because of COVID, but was there ever like any experience along the way physically where you said, you know, I need to quit or I need to stop or or had some serious questions that, you know, were kind of getting in your way?
You know, no. I'm pretty bullheaded. you know, so when I set my mind to do something, I usually accomplish it. Or so I've been lucky that far or that way. But there is, you know, there's times where I am lucky where, you know, when I hike the Camino in Camino de Santiago in Spain and in Portugal, and even my bike ride that I'm doing right now, if I do get tired, I do have the time where I can pull over and take a rest day and recuperate and do laundry and relax and get ready to go again. You know, that's the one thing that I really appreciate about my travels and how I've set it up is I get to be a traveler instead of a vacationer where I'm restrained for time and I am only given 5 days to accomplish this. You know, being a traveler, I get to, if I do get tired, I can stop and take a couple of days off and rest and relax. And it also allows me to really get to understand the places that I'm visiting and the people that live here and have conversations with them and really get to know the people and the communities that I travel through instead of vacation through.
Absolutely true. And I know, I think that speaks to your point about not really having a deadline where, you know, you feel compressed to get so many places in so that you can, you know, get somewhere or be done by a certain time. So I think that truly is the, you know, the beauty of being able to allow yourself just that, yeah, you're just a traveler, which is great.
Right. And, you know, and I think, and it's okay to be a vacationer.
Sure.
I think what I learned about vacationing instead of traveling is when I vacationed, I tried to put too much into my vacation. And I think what I learned when I was still doing vacations instead of being a traveler or just go with the flow. And when you go to different places, don't have set expectations of what you want to have happen and just have your time frame be really loose. So if you find something that you really enjoy doing, it allows you to spend more time doing that.
Right.
Or you find an area that you really enjoy and you want to explore more, do that and really become immersive in the culture and the areas that you're at instead of saying, okay, tomorrow at 2, I need to be on a bus and go somewhere else and you miss that opportunity to do that.
Oh, so true. Anyways, Keith, I still have so many questions for you, but again, it's time to go to break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives they genuinely love. I'm Melissa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Keith Weatherman, and he is embarking upon one of his bucket list items to ride his bike from the Mexico-California border down to Cabo San Lucas, and he's in La Paz right now visiting with us. So Before we wrap up, one of the things that comes to mind for me is the fact that you're doing this traveling solo, and I think that's something that some people choose not to embark upon journeys because they're either afraid to or are, you know, not comfortable doing that. How has that been for you?
I've loved it. I think it allows me, sometimes I can be impatient. So when I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. And I don't like sitting around waiting for somebody else to get ready.
But good answer.
But more important than that is, I think when I travel solo, it allows other people to feel comfortable coming up and talking to me. You know, it brings a An example that I have of that, the other morning I was eating breakfast and there was a couple sitting over in the corner, and they invited me over to join them for breakfast. So I sat down with them and they had like a million questions to ask me. And so, I was ready to go for my bike ride, and I think I ended up spending like 2.5 hours talking to them and answering all their questions. And then after I got done talking to him, Rick's wife goes, your vacation sounds like my worst nightmare. And I go, yeah, that's for some, that's probably the case. But I guess the point of that is that if I was traveling with somebody else, being invited over to sit at somebody else's table and getting to meet them and having a conversation, or like the example I shared with you, having breakfast with the Mexican that sat down and wanted to practice his English while I practiced my Spanish. Those things wouldn't happen probably if I was with a group or with somebody else. So it allows me to be more flexible. It allows me to be more open in other people's eyes to have conversations with. So traveling on my own has been great. But I would also share that when you're traveling on your own, you're never really on your own. For example, when I hiked did the Camino, I showed up alone. I was planning on walking alone. And within 2 days, we were a group of 7 people that were inseparable for the next 30 days. So just because you start something on your own doesn't necessarily mean you're going to end it on your own as well.
Absolutely. And I believe that you just happen to embark upon people that kind of have, similar mindsets. And yeah, I've found it to be a pleasure too. And so, I always tell people, don't be afraid of it. It's actually got different opportunities that you can't even imagine that will make it a richer experience.
Definitely. And whatever you're doing, there's probably other people out there doing the exact same thing. And your common interests always seem to bring people together. And it's funny because it seems to always be at the right time when you need it. When hiking the Camino, it says the Camino will provide. And I definitely agree with that, where, you're lonely or want to talk to somebody, it just seems like somebody pops up that has the same interest or wants to have a conversation too. And I've seen that on biking down the Baja as well. You run into people that are doing the same thing, or so you might pedal with them for a day or two, and then they go on their own, and you go on your own, but it serves a purpose and a need that seems to always be there and provide when you need it.
Absolutely, and that opens other doors for possibilities as well. I've found that I have friends all over the world because of different opportunities to engage with people in different places. So, there's that too. So you just have more adventures to have on the horizon.
Absolutely. And places to stay when you go to do that. When hiking the Camino, I have friends now that live in Spain and Austria and London and Israel. So I'm excited to get back over there and have them show me around the places that they live and love.
Great. Well, Keith, we have to wrap it up. I can't thank you enough for sharing your experience and your inspiration. And you're going to speak to somebody who's going to want to kind of, do the same thing, follow in your footsteps. So thank you so much for that. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening in. Join me for my next show. In the meantime, remember, now is your life. Get out there and really live it.